Let the eagle soar like she's never soared.
Thinking you can sing better than you actually can, this is nothing new. Lovers of center stage, from William Shatner to John Ashcroft, have regaled us with their efforts. But in those cases, it might be considered a matter of opinion how well or badly they sing. With Florence Foster Jenkins, it was never a matter of opinion. It was more a matter of controlling or concealing your laughter.
There's that quality, something prodigious about it. There's something just extraordinary.
Singer Peter Ludwig first heard her recordings in the 50s when he was a teenager.
We were rolling over laughing. We thought it was absolutely wonderful. I mean, you wouldn't exactly say great, but it's huge.
Generations later, Ludwig the teacher played them for his class of teenaged music students.
Florence Foster Jenkins just absolutely slayed them. There were kids who fell out of their chairs laughing.
But did she mean it? Yes, apparently she did. Jenkins made these recordings, now available on CD, in the 40s. Information about her is a little sketchy, but it seems she'd been born in the late 1860s, started as a pianist, then suffered an arm injury and declared herself a singer by giving her first public performance in 1912. She was by that time living off money left to her by her father, and she spent it on voice lessons, extravagant costumes, and charity events. By the 1920s, she had quite a reputation, giving annual concerts in Newport, Philadelphia, and Washington. At the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in New York, where she gave a regular series of recitals, audiences could barely conceal their amusement.
They had handkerchiefs that they stuffed in their mouths. They would double over.
Judy Kaye. She's been playing the part of Madame Jenkins in a play with music called Souvenir.
She really, truly thought they were crying. And if it got to be too much, they would simply get up out of their seats and run up the aisles and leave, go into the lobby. And she thought that they were just simply overcome with the beauty of her voice and especially with the beauty of the music.
By the time she got to Carnegie Hall, yes, that's right, she rented it for an evening in late October 1944, she was famous enough to fill the hall and then some.
It seemed that the people were hanging on the rafters.
Cosme McMoon, who served as Madame's piano accompanist for many years, remembered it was not just her singing, it was the whole package. He recorded this reminiscence of her in 1954. It appears on a current CD, The Muse Surmounted.
When she came out to sing an old English group, she came out in a sort of shepherdess's gown with a shepherd's crook. The ruckus was so great that it lasted 5 minutes before there was enough quiet for her to begin. Adele's Laughing Song was especially noteworthy because for this, Madame came out in a pastel-colored gown. Her eyes were veritable caverns of mascara. And besides the ha-ha-has, which people mimicked from up in the gallery, there was also a place in the text where it says, if my silhouette does not convince you yet, my figure surely will. She put her hands rakishly to her hips and went into a circular dance that was the most ludicrous thing I have ever seen and created a pandemonium in the place.
But the thing that has made her famous, the thing that has put her in the record books and entertained thousands at parties, is the Mozart aria Queen of the Night from The Magic Flute. Sung well, it is a staggering showpiece for a soprano. This is Lucia Popp.
It's possibly one of the most difficult pieces of music ever written for anybody to sing. And that's what she wants to sing most of all. She loves that piece of music with all her heart, and somehow sees herself as the one who will bring this gorgeous piece of music to life.
That was the first record she made. I've never gotten over it.
Gregor Benko is an archivist and producer of the CD The Muse Surmounted. It features a previously unreleased Jenkins track, and Benko's been doing research for an upcoming documentary on Jenkins. There's still such curiosity about her, people still wondering, what did she think she was doing?
One of the interesting things about her is, immediately after she died, an enormous number of legends began arising about her based on very little real information. People were writing that she had hired bodyguards to keep critics out of the concerts that she gave, and a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't true.
Not that we know all that much about what was true. Even the play, Souvenir, positions itself as fantasia rather than fact. But, oddly, things are surfacing. A tape of reminiscences discovered here, a new document there, which may lead us someday to understand more about a character no one could ever have dreamed up.
I think it's the actual singing. The joy in singing that she communicates transcends things auricular, as someone once wrote.
It was so obvious that she so dearly loved the music and so dearly loved what she was doing.
She had star quality.
People went to see Florence Foster Jenkins to laugh at her, but somehow she hooked them. Her records hook us to this day. By now, we can all agree she's much more famous for having been truly terrible than she ever would have been for being just bad or even good. That is because she took it right to the edge, right past the edge even, never seeming the least bit concerned about how deep the water was below.
She's having the last laugh. Her fame is rolling on.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.